Hello, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I have the honor to be able to be in front of this microphone and to tell you nuggets of truth from the Word of God. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus is back from the dead. The hymn writer catches it. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus is alive and doing extraordinarily well. And it's a very important thing for us to remember. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Isn't that wonderful and powerful and mighty and considerate and concerning? Well, if you go into the 16th chapter of Matthew, and I would ask you to maybe turn there, we will read about something that not too many of us spend much time studying or looking at, and you may have different ideas of what an angel is. I believe that there are angels, there are fallen angels, and there are demons. I do not believe that demons are fallen angels. Now, I know that there's a lot of theology today that says those two are the same thing. I don't want to get into that discussion too far, but I want to share with you from the Word of God how it is that you and I can have the very great privilege of understanding a little bit about angels. If we go to the 16th chapter of Matthew and verse 27, we read, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And this is one of the scariest statements that Jesus ever made. You see, if we back up to verse 24, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." If you go to Luke 15 and verse 10, you read, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, Jesus recognized that these inhabitants of heaven were called angels. They are not people exhibiting good works. They're not people who are kind and gentle and sweet and loving and all that sort of thing. They are angels that God created. They have a personality, they have power, they have the presence of God, and they are in the presence of God all the time. They sometimes come out to challenge people and to do the bidding of God, and they fight the warfare with Satan in the heavenlies. We know this from reading Ephesians, and that warfare, the angels that have fallen have already lost, but they still keep fighting. These angels that we're talking about are the angels of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to share with you that Matthew records the appearing of angels to Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, three times. Angels ministered to the Lord Jesus during his temptations. angels rolled back the stone to reveal that Jesus was risen. So Jesus was attended by angels, and he was very aware of these angels. What a silly statement Pilate made when Pilate said, "Don't you understand? I have the power to have you crucified or let you go." And Jesus corrected him and said, "You know, that's not exactly true. You have no power except the power that is given to you by God. I could have called 10,000 angels or 12 legions of angels, and I could have called them and they would have delivered me from this quagmire of nonsense that you are performing today, and there would be a different story to be told." Old Pilate didn't understand Jesus at all, but Jesus had the power and presence of the angels. At his birth, they sang in the choirs in the sky. The heavens opened and the angels came out and they sang, and it was a glorious thing that the shepherds heard. And it was a remarkable thing that they heard these precious words that God was loving the world and had given his only begotten Son, that anybody believing on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I know it doesn't say that, goodwill toward men. We like to talk about goodwill toward men, but it means absolutely nothing if you take Jesus out of the equation, because that is not the purpose of God, to reveal someone who will just be a nice person to look after people. So we find ourselves in the Gospel of Mark for a moment, and he speaks only of their ministry after the temptation. And then Luke records that Gabriel, speaking with Zacharias and Mary, and he spoke to the shepherds in their music, the angel at Gethsemane, and how he ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ at Gethsemane in the hour of darkness, and two, on the road to Emmaus, reported that certain women had seen a vision of angels. One angel sitting at the head where Jesus had been laid, and one angel sitting at the feet. And they said, I don't know whether it was in unison or not, but they said to Mary and to the disciples that rushed in, John rushing past Peter in the opening of the sepulchre, and then Peter going in, "Whom seek ye? You seek Jesus of Nazareth? He is not here. Why seek ye the living with the dead? He is risen. He is risen." They had seen the cruelest of deaths in the body of Jesus. They had seen the suffering and the shame that was put upon him. Yet he was alive and back from the dead. And angels announced it. Very important, you know. John, circumspectly, describes how Mary, looking into the sepulchre, saw two, one at the head and the other at the feet of where Jesus had laid. There is no argument, no apology. It is quite straightforward. These people believed in angels, and so should we. It was natural. Those to whom they wrote accepted the same teaching. It was a natural teaching. There were angels, the angels that attended Jesus. Now let's look at the nature of and the character of their ministry. Angels have character and they have ministry. And as we look at the Word of God, the most references are from the latter end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as is the speaking of the Holy Spirit. The former seems to have been for the enunciation of the ethic, the revelation of power. Just imagine for a moment being in Egypt when Moses was alive, Can you imagine that he laid down that rod on the ground and it budded? It was a dead piece of wood, but it budded. And you look at that and you say, wow, how did that happen? And then you go in to take a drink, and all you can drink is blood, because the rivers and reservoirs were full of blood. They were not full of water. Can you imagine being in Egypt that one night when one angel went through all of Israel and through Egypt? Can you imagine being there? Just for a moment, try to imagine it. One angel went through, and the firstborn of every living animal on earth that was captured and living in Egypt died that night. And so did the firstborn of every family, every human family, whether it was boy or girl, man or woman, the firstborn were killed that night. It was the work of one angel. Yet Pilate still thinks he has all power. He's a politician, and he thinks he's so powerful he can make life miserable for people or full of joy, and he can do anything he wants because he's got power. It sounds like people today who have some sort of power, and they think that their power is greater than the power of God, greater than the power that God gives to the angels. These angels were there by nature and by character, and they had a ministry. Look at John's Gospel for a moment, please, and if you have a moment to turn there, you will discover in the first chapter of the Gospel of John how John has written about angels. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It's an important thing to understand. You and I need to understand that the angels are in attendance. If we go into the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was talking of the field where the good seed had landed. This is the sower and the seed. And in verse 39, he says, "The enemy that sowed the tares was the wicked one, and he sowed them, and he is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out from the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing of gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then again Jesus spoke, and he said, "The kingdom of heaven," this is verse 44, "is like unto treasure." And he speaks again of another illustration. We need to understand that these wonderful creatures called angels are ours to consider and think about. Verse 49, "It shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to them in verse 51, have you understood all these things? And they say, yea, Lord. Therefore, said Jesus, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Jesus has spoken about angels. I wish we could understand much more and have the time today to see much more than we are going to see in the Word here. But taking part with the Lord Jesus in the final administration of his kingdom, work of separating. What a job that must be. And they are going to do it because they can do it. The wheat and the tares shall be separated. And those that have got what I sometimes call junk bonds, junk Christianity. Christianity that is not fulfilling. Christianity that doesn't really make the grade. Is not centered in the Word of God. Is not strong in the things of God. That sort of Christianity that is some emotional simpering thing. That is not what I'm talking about. I've always talked about the saints of the Lord Jesus, how we are filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, and we have much to understand. After Peter had made his great confession, the Lord Jesus began to speak of his passion. More is said of angels. Jesus keeps on saying it. They are his ministers. They circumvent and they divide and they administrate at the end of the age. We should expect to see angels, but the real ones, not the figment of men's imagination, not Peter Pan, none of that sort of thing. We should expect to see wonderful things, the nature of angels. There is very little said, just glimpses. Just a little light that is sufficient for our need. The first is given in Mark and Matthew and Luke. They are as the angels of heaven. Matthew 22 and verse 30 sums it up. They are as the angels of heaven. And we need to understand these angels in heaven are at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get into the Lord's Prayer and we say, and for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, Jesus is including the residents of heaven and the power that they have. You know, we talk about every child having an angel that looks after them. Woe to the man or woman that degrades a child in any manner and causes that child to go astray. Either spitefully or from lack of an intelligent upbringing, whatever it is, there's no excuse in front of God. You can't call the counselor and say, oh, counselor, help me. There's an angel sitting in front of me. He's judging me. There's a place where I hear gnashing of teeth. I hear the grinding of people and the screams of people in a place that I don't want to go into. There's an abyss. There's a black hole. A real big black hole, and it looks as if I'm going to fall into it. Help me to understand what a silly point of view this would be for the psychological people to try to work out. It's a fact. This exists. We also need to know that angel nature is neither male nor female. It's not terrestrial. It is not celestial. Is entirely different to human life. There is no way of us understanding than to say that they live in heaven. And then we have said all. An angel is a direct creature of God, each immediately created by God, a separate order of being. They visit, they touch, they're interested in us. They minister to us on earth, but we are of the earth. And then there's a gulf that separates man from angel. It's a very wide gulf. It is different. And there cannot be full comprehension. The mystery is not explained, as far as I can see, in the Bible. Anything that we conjecture is our own silly nonsense. To say that a demon is not a demon, he is a fallen angel, is to deny the fact that angels had the opportunity to follow Satan or God. Some chose to follow Satan, and they are called fallen angels. Demons are a spirit that is absolutely opposed to God. There is a stench about those creatures. There is a wickedness. There is a lawlessness. There is a powerful and extruded, terrifying being called, quite simply, a demon. They have their own area of influence. Demons possess, not angels possess, demons possess the body of a man. If they can't possess the body of a man, they're looking around to possess some other living creature, maybe a lion or a tiger or a jackal or a horse or a dog or a cat of some size. They are always looking for a living body to creep into. The angels I'm speaking of have their own body. It is a remarkable body. It can appear and disappear just as Jesus can appear and disappear. And yet it's not quite like the body of Jesus, because Jesus' body bears the resemblance of yours and mine. God saw that he had made man, and it was good in his eyes. And he said, let us make man. It's good what we've done. Man was made in the image of God. Man fell. Now man is in the fallen image of God. To remedy that, Jesus came into the world so that the fallen man might be lifted up, his feet set upon the rock, the joy of song put in his mouth, his eternal glory, his eternal life, is to be in a new body that won't pass away. This body that we have is pure dust, and from dust it came, and to dust it returneth. But the new body that we get when this body is laid to rest in the cemetery one way or another, why, the new body we get is the body that God gives by the grace of God, and through the beauty of the holiness of the Lord Jesus and the obedience of the Lord Jesus. I'm not speculating. I'm telling you the truth as I understand it from the Word of God. To say that fallen angels are demons is foolish, is not to recognize what Satan has created, and therefore we become, through ignorance, involved in something that is more powerful than us, and we allow that power to live in us. The awful power of lawlessness is in this world on exhibition right now. Right now. The lawlessness is from the politicians all the way down to the simple grower of beans, or the simple man that has the task of cutting wood, or the simple task of putting a car together, and so on and on. These demons will fill you and destroy you. If you don't believe me, go and visit somebody that is in a place for the mentally disturbed, and then come back and tell me there are no demons. Come back and share with me your experience. And I will share with you that you saw the work of demons in the worst possible way. Well, we are the saints of Jesus. We're alive, and Jesus lives. that we might live forever with him. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you to deliver us from silliness and to deliver us from false and corrupt teaching and keep us in the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you will cause us to stand straight and tall, and that you will cause us to be the saints that you want us to be, that we may follow you all the days of our lives and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we ask, help us to forgive those that have trespassed against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We pray that you'll be encouraged this week. Bye-bye. God bless you.